we're going to talk about this week and the next few weeks. We're going to talk about, I just started a second ago, we're going to talk about the malacha of dash, of threshing. So I have a source sheet. Here's the other source sheet. Before we really begin talking about how it applies practically, this week is going to probably be a little bit less practical than the next 2 weeks. There's going to be some examples that are practical, though most of them are good to know just in case you ever encounter a case. But next week we're going to talk about schita, which is squeezing or extracting a liquid from something, which is going to be that's the subcategory of dash that really applies much more nowadays. But the basic malacha of dash does still apply sometimes. So Rabbi Riviat in his Sefer has a nice introduction here about, we talked actually about dash a few times in the past, dash, and he talks about what used to happen a long time ago with the farmers, and the whole thing was that after they would take off their stalk, and he has pictures of this with the grain and all the psolet, right, because this came up by us for us already in Borer, with Borer. Borer was after we broke everything up. Now we had our food mixed with all of our leaves and dirt and pebbles and everything else, and now we were separating it. So if we take a step before that, we have we have dash, which is when you take your grain. They used to have these sticks that kind of look a little bit like nunchucks to me. The stick that had the top of it was not. It wasn't one long stick. It was. Everybody could it was like attached with a rope or something, so when you swung it down, it created extra force. You would swing this thing down, you would hit the grain. When you hit the grain, the outer shell kind of came off. That was really, you could have done this by stepping on it too. You could have done this with animals. He has a picture even here of a modern, the way that they do this with a machine, obviously, nowadays, and it's not with a machine. But this is what dash basically was it was separating the outside kernel of the chaff. It was separate. I'm not even sure I'm using my words correctly. It was separating the outside of the grain, the outside part of the wheat from the kernels or from the things that were inside.
So this is the chaff.
This is what dash basically was. Basically was a long time ago. So now to try to bring this, how does dash, what exactly is dash, so we can know when it applies and when it doesn't apply. So for that, we're going to now take a look at the source sheets. Yeah, you have a question?
My question is, yes, which comes first? Which is the first process? Is it willowing first before...
So dash was before the winnowing. Right after you break it apart, then the next step was the throwing it in the air and having the stuff blow away.
Then this comes before the winnowing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Trying to see.
So this is the first step, right? First you planted it, then you, well, there's a question exactly what the exact order of the malachos is, whether you sowed it first or you sowed it after, but you planted it, you sowed the ground, you planted it, you cut it, you gathered it.
Yes, okay.
And now you did dash, you threshed.
Oh, now you do this.
Okay.
Question. Oh. Yes,
okay, so what exactly, we're going to define the malacha, that's what we're going to do here, we're going to define the malacha, we're going to talk about when it may or may not apply bizman hazeh, hopefully we'll try to get there as much as we can. So the Gemara that we have seen already numerous times, but we never saw it for this, in this context and for the point that we're making now, is a Gemara from Shabbos, Daf Ein Gimel Amud Bet. I just cut out the list of the 39 malachas, we already seen it, so I know I had that at the beginning of every, of the last few different malachas, so I we don't have to put that in now, but the Gemara says, Hazora Habor. So Hainu Zora, Hainu Borer, Hainu Marake. The question that we have from that we dealt with last week in Zora, we did this Gemara in Borer too, is the Gemara, the Zora, this is the winnowing, Borer, sorting, and Marake, sifting are all the same thing. Right? Why are we counting them as three separate malachas in R39 if they're all the same thing? Abai v'Rava Damri Tarayu, because Abai and Rava both came along and said, Kol milta dehavi b'mishkan afagav deika dedamyaleh chashiv la. Anything that was done separately in the Mishkan, even if something else was similar to it, we're still going to count that as a malacha. So therefore, we're going to count winnowing, throwing it in the air and letting the wind blow away what you don't want. We're going to count borer, which was you sorting it, and we're going to count merake, which was sifting it with a sifter, with a machine. Right? They're all the same thing. They're all separating the ochel from the psola from each other. But because each of them was a significant act that was done in the Mishkan, we're going to count them as three malachas. Yeah.
When you say done in the Mishkan,
I always thought it meant in the construction of the Mishkan. That's obviously.
As far as this is taking me back a long time, there's a lot of machlokism about if it was done in the building of the Mishkan or in the function of the Mishkan. I think if it was done they used dyeing in the construction. If that's the case, then the malachas were done in the dyeing, which you would have used all these things for dyeing of things, right? But if we say that it was done in the actual functioning of the Mishkan, then for the lechem hapanim, for the what do we call that, the showbread, is that what it's translated as? For that was done every week. So then we would have applied all these for grains to make bread. Yeah, as far as I remember, that takes me. Wow. Long time back. Okay. So the Gemara now says, "Vilichashiv nami kotesh." Also, we should count kotesh crushing as a malacha. So Rashi here tells us that. Let's take a look at Rashi in source 2. So vilichashiv nami kotesh chitin b'machtesha. You take the wheat and you pound it with like something that's gonna crush it up. Lahasir klipatan, to remove the shell. Dehavia be migdash b'samimanim, because they use this in the migdash in the dyeing process. Elolav, but why would we not count kotesh, crushing? Why not count it? Mishum didomil dash, because it is the same thing as dash, very similar to dash, right? So now we're getting a roundabout definition of dash. We're saying kotesh is similar to dash. So what is dash? So lo chashiv la daha nami mifrika malbushi, because kotesh and dash both involved unloading, mifrika literally like unloading the malbush, the dressing, the shell, the layer over something, right? So the question of the Gemara here is now is, why not count kotesh, which was similar to dash, but it was also done? So you just told me Zohar and Bor Merakeh were all done and they were all the same thing. Well, kotesh and dash are the same, very, very similar, and they were both done. Why not count both of them? And then the Gemara gave an answer that Machlokas had to understand. The answer is that kotesh isn't really as chashuv. It's not really done bisman hazeh, maybe, right? The Gemara says that poor people will eat their bread without doing kotesh. Maybe it was done, but it's not done now. So Machlokas had to understand the answer. But our takeaway from here is that we now have our first working definition of dash, which is extracting something from its outer shell, from its dressing, from its malbush, from whatever it is on top of it. This is our definition of dash. I would call this extracting. I don't know. I always like the word here, extracting. You're extracting something that is within something else. We're definitely gonna have to narrow that down. We're gonna have to narrow that down. But that's our first working definition. Questions, comments, anything? Okay. Yeah?
Yeah, it's obvious. Peeling a banana is the same.
Okay, so peeling a banana, is peeling a banana going to be dash or not? And we're going to come to that later. According to what we said now, it sounds like it would be, right? It would be. And then if so, then could be that it's you're doing two malacha. It could be, right? We're going to talk about this. It could be maybe we're going to not take this to its conclusion, but right now, maybe you violated two malachas when you peeled a banana. You violated which two malachas? Dash, you extracted the banana from its outer layer. And what else? Possibly. Separated. Did borer. You just did borer to it. So we're going to talk about what the difference is between dash and borer. There's going to be some cases where, in fact, you could have done both. What?
I do peel my banana on Shabbos. I want to conclude it for the sheep.
Okay.
We already said that peeling the banana or some things is not borer.
We said it's not borer.
There's access to the food. It's not borer.
Right. Only if you eat it right away. If you take your banana out and then eat it an hour later, then it could be borer, right. And it could also be dash, or it could be neither of those. If we get to the end of the shiur and if we know everything from borer, right? If you eat it right away, it's not going to be borer, and when we come to the end, we'll see how that's not going to be dash either. But just right now, theoretically, in our broad definition, it would be okay. So the Prima Gadim is going to now clarify this a little bit, narrow this down a little bit. We're in source 3. So the Prima Gadim, was a commentary on two commentaries to the Shulchan Aruch. He wrote one. This one, the one on Ish Avraham, is his commentary on the Magen Avraham. So he says, "Umefarik shayech ba'ochel mipsolet hatamun bo vinit gadol bo." That mefarik is going to be mefarik is a told of dash. For us, for now, we can basically consider those to be the same things. Okay, so mefarik ishaich beochal mipsolet. So you need ochal and psolet. If there was one food that was inside another food, that would probably not be dash, according to what he's saying now. If you had, let's say, we're going to talk next week for schita, but let's say you squeezed out, this is just theoretical, this isn't practical because we still need to come to this for next week, but if you, let's say you squeezed out a drop of your orange, you have a drop of orange juice, but the whole orange is still edible too. Theoretically, that would not necessarily be dash, because there's ochel and there's ochel. Dash really needs to be, you're extracting the inner thing from the outer thing that's not edible. Like banana peel.
Yeah.
Or like, I never, well, walnut. Well, it depends. They have multiple shells. If you, that's what I was going to say, it's a walnut or one of those, right, where you'd have to take like a hammer or one of those a nuts where it was in its really hard shell right off the tree, that's going to be our perfect example that we should keep in mind for the rest of the morning that we're going to be talking about here. That is a hard shell that's not edible, that you need to crack the shell open in order to get access to the food. That could be dosh, that could be extracted. We're going to see that likely is going to be a problem. We're not talking about the inner shell that you just crack before you eat. We're talking about the outer hard shell that it grows in.
Sounds like a much more active process, dosh, than when you talk about like peeling a banana. Very
yeah.
Passive.
Okay, but I don't know if that's going to be such a difference, right? Even with a banana, you're still doing something. Okay, so the first thing Primogadim tells us is that it's ochal mipsolet. Hatamun bo viniskadabo, right? This isn't just, and viniskadabo means it grew like that. Okay, now we're narrowing it down even more so. It grew like that. I.e., what nut did you just say? A walnut? A walnut, let's say, it grew like that. But I don't know, you take a candy wrapper, right? Because that came up in Borer, taking the wrapper off the candy. It didn't grow like that. It didn't come like that, right? So straight off the bat, we could say dosh isn't going to apply to taking a candy wrapper off of a candy because it has to have grown that way. Similar to what we talked about a few minutes ago. In the Mishkan, what they did was they took the wheat stalk that grew that way and they crushed. And they remove the outer part of it to get access to the inner part of it. Okay? So the Prima Gadim says this, Kein chita b'mot, o mashkeme ochal, or, this is next week's chita, is going to be, or extracting lemon, you squeeze a wine lemon in your tea, right? That's going to be, we're talking about next week. That's another example of this. O samani mitoch sharvitin shalem, shezaya b'mishkan, ha ochal me ochal min ator pater, right? But ochal from ochal, it's going to be allowed. So if, jumping the gun a little bit, you have some type of like string bean, I don't know, some type of bean where the inside part is edible, but also the shell is edible, then you no problem squeezing the peas out, squeezing the lima, whatever the beans are inside, squeezing that because it's not dush, because dush has to be, you're squeezing the inner thing from the outer shell that's not edible. Okay?
Like,
okay, I see. Confusion is there.
What is it called? An
edamame? We're going to talk about edamame because I was thinking a lot about that. I was thinking a lot about them. We're going to talk about them as we just develop this a little bit more. The outside is probably, there's not edible as far as I know. It's not edible.
No.
Not edible, right.
I've tried.
Oh, it's not edible. Okay, good. Thank you. Edamame could very well be a problem. We're going to come to that as we see a little bit more. Okay, so this is what the Prima Gadim says.
Very good.
Fine, good. The Prima Gadim says this. There's a lot of lumdus involved in this malacha that we're not gonna. Maybe we'll allude to it a little bit, such as when Rashi says that there's a malbush that it's something is covered. A malbush sounds like it's covered entirely. What if you opened up all your edamame? You just opened up the tip of them before Shabbos, so now it's covered on most sides except for one. It's not, although the Rishonim and the Achronim, they all argue, does it have to be covered entirely or does it not have to be covered entirely? What if you loosen it inside, you can like squeeze everything so it's kind of not attached, but it is attached, but it's covered. So there's a lot of these questions that we're not going to spend too much time on here. I'm just pointing them out. They're interesting questions in exactly what Rashi means by this and how do we define this malacha. So our rule right now that we're going to, our rule going forward that we're going to then clarify in a while from now, is that dash is extracting something edible that was grown inside something that's inedible, like a walnut. or various other forms of nuts. Other example, or maybe edamame, maybe peas or other kinds of beans or things like that. Another example, we're going to talk peanuts. We're going to talk about peanuts also towards the end. The peanuts are going to be a kind of middle category, because a peanut is not like a walnut. A walnut has a really, really hard shell on it that you crack open, and then there's another shell on the inside. The peanut, that shell, there's only one shell. There's only one shell on the outside, so it's going to be a little bit different. So we're going to come to walnuts,
pecans,
all the nuts families. Yeah, yeah. Okay, so we're going to limit. We're going to now tell us a limitation that's not going to really. It's not going to have so many ramifications, but important limitation to know in this malacha from the Gemara and Shabbos Daf Ayin Hey Amud Aleph and Source 4. So the Gemara says Tana Rabbanan. Hatsad chilazon vehapotzo einu chayev ela achas. If a person traps a chilazon, a snail, and wounds it, right, draws out blood, they're only chayev for one thing. Rabbi Yehuda Omer chayev shtayim. Rabbi Yehuda says they're chayev for two things. What are you chayev for if you trap a snail and you ultimately wound it? So, Shehaya Rabbi Yehuda Omer ptsia bichlal disha. He said potseya, wounding it, is included within the malacha of disha. Why is that? Why is drawing blood part of this subset, possibly a subset of this malacha?
Breaking the shell or something.
And what are you doing? You're extracting the blood. You're extracting, or in this case, I don't know if it's the blood or the gland, or you know, I don't. It seems to me that maybe this is connected to Tcheles. I'm not sure. I think this Gemara is sometimes quoted in the Tcheles discussion, but in any event, and Rashi says, as I quoted the Rashi, "Bichal disha shemefarik adama." Rashi says adama, the blood. Heimenu kimefarik tfuah mikashin shel. This is, you know, similar to taking the wheat stalk and taking the seed out from it. You're taking the blood out from the animal. So this is disha. So then the Gemara continues, and this is the part, the rule that is, doesn't have so many ramifications, but good to know. Amrulo im psi bichlal disha. So they say back to him, no, that's not included in disha. Amar Rava, my time with the Rabbanan, kasavri ain disha ele ligdulei karka. The Rabbanan think that we only have disha from something that grows from the ground. Okay? The malacha of dash, of threshing or extracting, only applies to something that grows from the ground. Narrows it down. I have to do some more research for the next 2 weeks, but one example where this may or may not apply, and this is one of those things that you never think about, but you'll find a lot of information, a lot out there on this. Using baby wipes on Shabbos possibly is extracting the liquid from within the wipe, something that is inside, right? That's really what the liquid is, could be inside the wipe. There's a bit of a machlokas here in the Metzius about wipes, whether the liquid's really inside or so much of it is on the outside of the wipe that when you use it, you're not extracting anything from inside the wipe. So that's definitely according to some. I was just wondering, and I have to do some research, how that fits into Gedulei Karka or not. Right, you can only have disha unless maybe schita doesn't apply to only gedulei karka. I don't know. That's going to be research. That's going to be for the next week and 2 weeks. We'll probably have two more weeks in this. So what I think is going to be one of these questions is going to be the question of baby wipes and some of the other very practical questions here. But right now the Gemara says ein disha ela gedulei karka, and this presents it as machlokis. The Rambam source 5 paskins this way. The Rambam source 5 hadash ki gro geres chayv if you do disha in the amount of a gro geres. The ein disha, the underlying part, ela bigdulei karka. You can only have the malacha of dash, of threshing, extracting from something that grew from the ground like a nut. But then the Rambam tells us something else that we're going to see how Rabbi, why this doesn't really help us so much. Mefarik, continuing in the Rambam, Arayu told us dash. Mefarik is a told of dash. Therefore, another example that I don't know how much we're going to talk about this one, but hacholev et habehema, if you milk your cow on Shabbos, you're chayev mishum mefarig. You're chayev for mefarig, you're chayev for dash. Why is that? You're extracting the milk that was hidden, that was within the other item that's not edible. I guess maybe in the future it could be edible, but right now it's not edible when you take your milk. Extracting milk is part of this malacha. We'll talk about that also. But what does the Rambam say? The Rambam goes right from ein disha ela bigdulei karka to, therefore, if you milk your animal, your cow, your chayav on Shabbos. What does that tell us? It tells us that gedulei karka is very expansive. He's including an animal as something that's gedulei karka, that grows from the ground. So why is this? Or have a ribiyat here in source Rabbi Ruby out here tells us that there are, in source 6, there are broad guidelines for determining what items are classified as earth-grown with respect to dash. They include not only all plant life, right, all the nuts and everything else, but even some animal life as well. For example, humans and animals are considered earth-grown in the context of dash because they ultimately derive their sustenance from the earth. I.e., you derive. We saw this last week, I think, for something else, that people are considered to be gidulei karka, at least in some respects. Therefore, and another example, we're going to talk more about this practically in the future, expressing human milk or milking an animal would be considered acts of mifarek, which is a tolda of dash. Okay? So disha, again, what's disha is extracting something edible from something that's inedible, from the outer shell, from the outer thing that you don't want. And it only applies to gidulei karka, but gidulei karka is more or less everything. The one exception, fish are not considered to be gidulei karka, though there could be other isuri darabanan that wouldn't let you necessarily extract du dash somehow if you wanted to push down the fish to so the juice would come out or something like that, or liquid would come out. That could not necessarily be dash midar raisa because a fish is not considered to be gidulei karka. But otherwise, this doesn't have so many more. I'm going to have to look into the baby wipes for the next week or two. Okay, so this is what dash is. Now, how is dash different than borer? Right, borer also. Borer sounds like the same thing. Borer was taking something from the shell that you don't want. Right? Why? Or in other words, when you peel an orange or you peel a banana, what malacha are you doing? Are you doing malacha borer? Are you doing malacha of dash? Or both or neither?
Yeah, but borer could be both. Could be ochel.
Right, but if both are ochel, then one of them is going to be. We're going to consider one of them to be psolet, the one that you don't want. We always consider to be psolet.
Right,
here's also ochel mipsolet. Dash also ochel mipsolet. If both of them are ochel, it's not dash. That's what. If both of them were ochel, we're gonna have we'll have some examples of that also towards the end. If both of the things are considered, oh, we said one already. The peas or something like that. If the shell is edible, right? A lot of times the way you cook it, it's not edible, or the way that it's freeze dried, whatever they're doing to it, I don't really know. That, but if the shell would be edible, then dash does not apply to it.
Right.
So borer is the same thing. Borer is also, there's ochel. There's also seems to be a psolet. Okay. Okay? Yeah? Right, both have ochel, both have psolet. So what's the difference? So Rabbeinu Chananel, here, Rabbeinu Chananel was one of the, wrote one of the earlier, if not the earliest commentary on the Gemara that we have. He lived before Rashi. He lived in the late 900s to somewhere in the mid year, 1050 maybe, or something like that, in North Africa. So Rabbeinu Chananel says, "Hadash hu hamifarek hapsolet hamichuberet ba'ochel." So the keyword here is mechuberet. We'll see this in a few other sources as well. That what's dash? What were all the examples of dash that we had? Everything in dash is when it's connected to, attached within. It grew within something else. That's going to be dash. Dash is the point where it's connected. But brera, borer for him, is after you smash your wheat and now it's all lying on the floor, it's disconnected, now is really when borer is going to apply to it. We're still going to talk, we're going to narrow this down a little bit, but I think everybody who explains the difference between borer and between dash is kind of follows along this in this Rabbeinu Chananel. I'm trying to say everybody, some talk about how dash is when it's all attached as one. Borer is when it's detached. Of course, there's going to be in the back here, Rabbi Ribi, it has, don't think that you can't be over two malachas at the same time, because you sometimes could. So you sometimes could, but that's going to be, that's really what he says here. So if we take a look in Source 8, we'll have Rabbi Eider, actually. Rabbi Eider Silcha Shav is in English, where he kind of spells out this Rabbeinu Chananel. What is the difference between the malachas of dash and borer? So he says, in dash, there is one substance, okay? Right, borer, what is borer? Borer has to be a mixture. Dash is one substance, that's a key word, containing both ochel and psolet, with the psolet connected to the ochel. It's one thing. The malacha of dash is producing a food by extracting the ochel from its natural connection, right? It has to have grown that way within the psolet. Although the ochel and psolet may remain mixed together in the same pile. In borer, there are two substances, ochel and psolet, mixed together. They're not mechuber, they're not attached, they're mixed. The malacha of borer is perfecting the ochel by selecting and by its selection and removal from the psolet.
Could you give an example? I still don't understand that.
Okay.
Can you give an example of each to show the distinction? Like peanuts with a
shell. Yeah, I'll give you an example. There's going to be borer. Peanuts with. Sorry?
Peanuts with a.
With a shell.
With the thin shell that you peel off.
When you.
That's connected, isn't it?
That's connected, right. That's connected. So. It's not going to be based on the definition now. I could grant that it could be dash. It's not going to be for reasons that we're gonna see in a few minutes. The easiest examples that I can give right now, right, like there's going to be some type of overlap middle ground. The easiest examples that we can say right now are I'll give you the same example. You have the nut with the hard shell on the outside of it. You crack that hard shell on the outside and you let it go. Right, you crack that hard shell. There was one substance that had both ochel and psolet. Now you have on the table lots of little pieces of that shell plus that food.
Right.
And now that if you throw away the pieces of the shell, that's borer, because borer means you need to take what you want. You can't throw away what you don't want. Right? It's not exactly the same. Your question is the same case whether that's borer or not, right? Peeling the banana is borer or not? We still need to we still need to see a little bit more why that's not borer. But I think from this definition, it could be, right? An orange is an orange one substance or two substances? I think for borer we said it was kind of two substances, but
it grows attached.
But it grows attached, right? Right, so I want to hold off on that. But if it's not clear in a few minutes from now, because we still need to define it, make one more big shift in our understanding of dash, and then if it's still not clear, then we'll talk about it. Okay. Okay. So the Rabbi Eider tells us here that dash is with one substance, and borer is when there's two substances. There's an ochel and a psolet. That's not connected, but that's not attached, but it's ma'urav. It's all mixed up. So Rav Ramon, I quoted a little piece of here, and we'll talk about this a little more. He tells us I think a very good way to understand the difference between the two. So I'm just reading inside in source 9 now. He quotes the Shvitat HaShabbat, that's a sefer, however, maintains that there is an absolute distinction between dash and borer. Dash involves taking out the ochel, which is absorbed in the psolet, right? That's what we said. It's when one thing's absorbed inside the other thing. While borer involves the separation of psolet, which is mixed in with the ochel. And it cannot be that one is liable with one action for the same two malachot. I guess he's maybe I didn't think too much more about this. If he's exactly agreeing or not with Rabbi Ribi yet, where he says that it sounds like it's impossible to be over two of them at the same time. Rabbi Ribi yet definitely has in his sefer where he says. One who cuts away the hull of a walnut for later use transgresses both malachas of borer and dash at the same time. I think Rav Rimon would likely agree to that also, but it's only because we added one caveat, right? What did you do? You cut away the hull of the fruit of the nut. That is dash.
Yeah.
That is dash. You extracted the fruit from it. If you eat the fruit right away, that's not borer, right? Because we said whenever there's an inedible shell and the only way you can eat it, so then you still have to do. But what if you cut away the hull of the nut and then you put the nut away for an hour? So in that case, it seems clear. You're chayav for dash and you're chayav for borer from the same action. Had you just popped the food into your mouth, no borer anymore. But because you didn't do that, you're chayav for borer and you're chayav for dash. So I put it in the source sheet a little bit later, but it's worth noting, I think, at this point, Rav Rimon has a very big distinction where he says that an important distinction. He says that dash is. I put it in. Dash creates food and borer fixes it, right? But without dash, there is no food there. Without cracking the hull of the nut, you have nothing. Dash is an act that creates the food. The borer, now you have food mixed with lots of things that are not edible, that you don't want, fixes the food. Okay, but still, there's going to be like middle cases where both are kind of happy.
That's a good definition, because the one where Rabbi Eider said that the dash is one substance,
Yeah, and the other one is two substances. Yeah, agreed. Although, like I said, there's going to be like there's always, you know, going to be some of these middle cases. But yeah, but we still have to talk about why is fruit generally not dosh, and that's where we're going to come to right now. Okay, any questions? Is anybody? Everybody?
I wanted to ask you about popcorn that has been popped.
Yeah.
I think, you know how sometimes you get popcorn in a bag before Shabbos, you can get it.
Yeah.
Right? The thing is, sometimes when you get the popcorn, there are sometimes where the popcorn, the kernel of the corn is not completely, has not completely popped, and it's attached to the, to a particle of the popcorn. And
it's attached to a different one, yeah.
Yeah. So thereafter, they go ahead and they take their finger and they cut it off so that they could eat the popcorn thing. And you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, I understand. I never saw it, but yeah.
You get a kernel.
So for there, that sounds to me to be the regular Borah thing. You have to take the popcorn. You would have to take the popcorn to eat it.
You have to eat the white part.
You have to take the popcorn. You couldn't.
You can't separate it before.